5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Now you know that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I am PK.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Wow, three voices. That was nice.
All right, I'm sorry.
No, I wasn't. Look, I wasn't going to point out how last week you shirked all of your responsibilities and left me and PK to do the show alone.
Oh, boy.
I was merely rejoicing
sir,
in you being here this
I
week.
Was apologizing to the audience.
Oh, okay.
For having left the two of you in charge of the program.
We did a perfect.
Here we go.
We did a perfectly fine show.
It was,
but you were missed.
I listened.
You're always missed. When any one of us is gone, I feel as though that person is always missed.
Do you know what right. You know what's missed when OG's not here?
The show.
The show. Did we ever do one just you and me, PK?
Well,
or was that one of the ones that we tried to do? But we had
we tried to accomplish that once, and before you managed to come over, everything shit the bed. That was during the mixer.
Yeah. I thought so. Yeah. I thought at one point we were like, we'll do one.
Yeah.
And technical difficulties beyond our control.
I actually just didn't want him over my house, so I pretended.
Hey.
Oh, what? No.
He threw all the circuit breakers in the basement. Nothing is working.
I don't understand.
Nothing works here, man. It's the strangest thing.
So, yes, we are all here for this lovely episode.
We're all queer. Yeah. We will not disappear. This is never.
No, this is not your fezzatorial.
Jesus.
We are here in the middle of the summer here in New Jersey.
Yeah, right? It was 60-some degrees.
It was 60 yesterday.
After wearing 7 layers of clothes,
yeah,
24 hours earlier.
That's not as bad as...
I was in a t-shirt.
That's not as bad as today, it going from 50, 52, going to go to the 20s tonight.
During the day, as the sun was rising, it was getting
colder.
Yeah.
It was weird.
What the fuck, Jersey?
Yeah, when I got up to go to the gym this morning...
It's what the fuck, Earth.
Yeah. When I got up to go to the gym this morning, it was 42 outside.
Yeah.
When I got home from the gym and was getting ready to leave to take my son to school, it was 33. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how that happened.
But, like, progressively during the day, yeah. Like, I just... Like, I was in and out of my house a lot today, and so I would go in the house, and I would come out, and it was like, warm. And yeah. I would go in and come out, and it would be like, well, it's like the sun should be setting, because that's this level of drop in the weather. And then I went out later, and it was colder still, but it was like 3 in the afternoon. And I was like, what the hell?
At peak noon, yeah. It was 16.
Yeah, I took my lunchtime stroll today, and it felt like my limbs were going to fall off because I didn't layer properly because I was jaded by yesterday.
Sir, you know, you do burn more calories when it's cold.
That's great.
That's true. Do you know that? That's actually
I was not aware of that.
Yeah. And your body is because your body is using more energy to keep warm. Yeah.
Yes.
I learned from Batman that you don't want to rub your arms. You rub your chest because that's where the core is at.
Oh,
I learned that right. Batman Begins. Liam Neeson's told me about that.
The Liam Neeson's.
I learned that from Liam Neeson's.
I learned you stamp your feet. I learned that from Sean Connery in the movie The Untouchables.
Straight. There you go. All good, valuable lessons.
That's how you get Capone and his men.
So here we are. This is episode.
You stomp your feet.
He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Welcome to this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the all Sean Connery episode.
The all Sean Connery
episode. I would appreciate the two of you both dropping your Spanish accents for this week's episode.
Si, senor.
Can we stick with...
You Spanish peacock.
Right away he goes to Mexicans. Did you know that? No, but OG's not racist. No, that's fine.
No, I was alluding to the fact that a Scotsman played the Spaniard and Highlander.
He's not a Spaniard. He's Egyptian.
He's Egyptian, yeah. He's just dressed like a Spaniard.
With a Scottish accent. So he was an Egyptian.
He was.
Dressed as a Spaniard
uh-huh.
with a Scottish accent.
Correct.
All right. I just want to make sure I understand it.
And training the Frenchman.
And yeah. training the Scot.
The French Highlander.
With the French accent. Yeah.
No, but looking back on that movie, it was fantastic.
Yeah, but looking back, no one cared. No. All they cared about was the fact that it was like nothing you had ever seen before.
One of the best.
Zero fucks
Still
given.
Love that movie. I might have to pop that on later.
And the second one, like nothing you'd ever seen before, except that last poo you took.
And like that movie never happened.
The second one?
No.
Yeah. Oh, it happened.
No, it did not.
Oh, yes, it did.
No, negative.
Oh, yes,
no,
it did.
Nope. No, PK flushed it like the last poo he just saw.
Indeed.
Right from his memory.
But hold on. Because as bad as the second one was, and it was. Was the third one the Mario Van Peebles one?
There's a very specific rule in the first one, and it applies to everything that happened
yeah.
after one. Yeah. There can be only one.
Except the second one and the third
no,
one.
Never happened.
And the fourth one.
And the animated series.
The animated series. No, hold on. The animated series, the one set in the future?
Yeah.
That was a good cartoon.
I never saw it.
That was... I actually really liked that cartoon.
Assumed it was shite.
Did you ever watch it?
No.
Oh, I thought it was
is
really...
Is it a good cartoon or is it a good Highlander cartoon?
It's not only is it a good cartoon, it's kind of a square peg round hole for Highlander fans per se,
right.
But it was a really well done cartoon and a really good as a futurist.
Right.
It's a really kind of another really kind of acceptable, I thought in many ways, good look at the future in the same way that Batman Beyond was a really good look at the future.
I might have to look that up.
Yeah.
I have access to that somewhere. I can probably buy that on iTunes. Couldn't I? I bet.
I doubt it.
Yeah? Is it that
you may have
obscure?
To,
I mean, you
may have to seek out OG's ubiquitous clandestine
okay.
sources.
Yeah.
I can dig that up.
You've intrigued me.
I've seen it, and I've always blown it off, so I'm like, nah.
I remember we used to sell it at the
Suncoast
back in the day.
I had it. I know. I don't anymore.
I'll take a look after I finish the cartoon that I am now one season complete on.
Which is what?
Rebels.
Yeah.
Oh, way to catch up.
I determined what the holdup was. Because I watched all like the special kind of things first. I guess all those lead-in ones before I started actual season one, and those didn't really hold my attention too much. There was good stuff happening, but I was kind of I was easily distracted and not invested in it.
Did you do Clone Wars?
I didn't finish Clone Wars. I got through a healthy portion.
You probably should finish Clone Wars. You should especially.
I've never finished it either. Yeah.
Oh really? Oh, you should definitely watch that last
Clone
season
Wars,
in
I was
particular.
Here and there on. But
if it wasn't canon, like Tartakovsky, if you've never seen the Tartakovsky Clone Wars,
I love those.
They're amazing. But if you didn't watch them, it wouldn't be a big deal because they're not canon.
Right.
However, when they're tying characters from the Clone Wars cartoon into the feature films,
of course.
You need to have that info. That's just my opinion.
I agree. It's on the list.
But with season one, I got the first one or two episodes of season one of Rebels was the same kind of boat. I was like, oh, this is going to be a bit of a slog. I don't know if I'm into this as much as these guys are. And then it just clicked. And what I think the main thing that clicked for me is the crew of the Ghost, for me now, is a role-playing game campaign.
Yeah, totally.
And each character, just like a role-playing campaign team, has their own little special things that they add or their own special skills that they bring. They're a real crew. They're almost like a Firefly crew. You know, everybody's got their own little niche. And once that realization clicked for me, I fucking love it. It's
niche,
it's
not spear, Big Kev. you know what? And they're all great characters.
Yeah.
I mean, Kanan, it makes me sad that Kanan doesn't have a huge future in him. Because the more he develops as a character, He is fantastic.
The sadder you are going to be when they kill him off.
That's what I mean. It's knowing that he doesn't have a future.
And
do they have to kill him off?
Yes.
Though? I mean, what's
you know why?
There are Jedi hiding everywhere.
Not by the time Luke is alive.
No, because
he
because
still be in hiding.
No, because Yoda. First of all, Yoda would have known.
Yeah.
And if Yoda makes the illusion that you know Luke is pretty much it.
Yeah, he's the last chance. Remember,
right?
They can't. All that you have to. I feel the same way as you do in many respects.
Some of the other ones can stick around. Hera could theoretically be around.
Yeah, yeah, no,
but Kanan, sure. Kanan, I think,
isn't
is
there
one
a
and done.
Thing now? I might be confusing something that happened in a role playing campaign in Star Wars, but isn't there a thing somewhere in canon where someone can kind of get yanked from the Force or divorced from the Force,
no.
so to speak?
No.
And maybe
no.
he can be
so.
De-Jedi'd. I'm grasping at straws to make it not so depressing that he has to go.
No. I
the shame of it is there's a bunch of great characters. Like, you haven't... watched Clone Wars,
Ezra,
right?
Too. Ezra, too, has got to say farewell.
Well, we know what happens to Ezra.
Ezra is Snoke.
Oh, yeah,
he becomes Snoke. But it's
and
no.
then he starts doing tattoos with that gun thing.
You know who else is a great character that you have to lose that way to? Yeah. Ahsoka.
Yeah.
I haven't encountered
you
her.
Haven't encountered Ahsoka.
Not yet.
She comes in season 2?
End
yes.
of season 2,
yeah.
I think.
Got it, okay.
Yeah. Or 3.
No, 2.
Season 2?
Yeah.
That's a great character.
When she arrives in Rebels, she's a much better character, right? Because she really kind
of... She's older.
She annoyed
she's
the
older.
Out of
developed.
Bit.
She's
yeah.
no longer she's, Anakin's Padawan.
She's
right.
also
she's
not...
She's a Jedi.
She's a full-blown Jedi.
No, no.
I know she's
technically,
not.
She's not a Jedi.
Yeah, she renounced the Jedi.
She renounced the Jedi Order, which you haven't seen Clone Wars, you should. Again,
yeah,
right. that's another reason
to see
it.
That's a Clone Wars spoiler.
And
you just
her blades are white.
Why'd I gotta be white?
Well,
she don't want to be stopped and frisked.
That's it.
So,
wow, wow.
So,
what?
That's just
unbelievable.
That's just painfully true. Unfortunately,
that's it. So, yeah. So, I'm glad that you're on the. I'm glad that you're on the Rebels bandwagon because the journey from here forward. I mean, season 1 was really good, but season 2 kicks it into gear, and you're going to get some. You get a little bit of Leia in season 2.
Yeah, it just seems like
it
gets more
Lando in
everybody.
Season 2.
Every
Lando
episode
especially.
Got more and more intense, and I only imagine it's just more and more intense as we get into season 2. And now season 3 is happening now,
correct.
Right? Okay.
Correct. Season 3 is about to come back.
So I don't
back.
Have much to go to catch up on this sucker.
No. And they're easy. They're half hour episodes.
Yeah,
22
minutes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Season 3 has already come back.
When did
they
it
already
come
had
a, an episode
part one
just
and
aired.
Part two.
Yeah,
part one and part two of the return.
When did it come back?
It had to be this past Saturday.
Oh, okay. Maybe I didn't realize
DVR,
it had come back.
Perhaps
it's probably on my DVR. Yeah.
Just to close that out, what you were saying, PK, about wanting Jedi to be around, so on and so forth. I feel the same way you do because they had a lot of great characters in the expanded universe.
Yep.
That kind of stuck around after all that.
Get off the
and I
at
think
the,
that's
at the
another
deep
great
end of the universe.
Reason. I think it's another great reason for them to have gotten to kind of made those things legends and so forth.
I mean,
and pulled them from canon.
Luke is off God knows where, and Leia has no idea where he's at. And the two of them got a crazy ass connection. You would think she would know where Luke is. So that I'm talking about Force Awakens. So I would imagine. I mean, it's a possibility exists that somebody could be so far out into the deep that they could hide themselves.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything for you, so we should stop this conversation.
Okay.
But I think as you watch more of the show, you'll realize why Kanan can't really survive.
Yeah.
Okay. I will follow up as I continue.
So
and to remark on that Leia and Luke thing, don't forget also in Force Awakens, she has a little moment when Han dies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean that connection isn't just.
Yeah.
Through, I mean, that's definitely a connection via the Force, not via blood and so on and so forth, that they're twins.
All right. So the one thing we didn't do, the two things we didn't do, is we didn't give the episode number or title. So it's episode 437.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to call this one Better Late Than Never because normally you would have had this episode a day or so ago.
Oh.
And we're a day or so behind schedule this week.
I fault again.
I'm not blaming anybody.
I'm apologizing to the audience.
Can we alternate title it Ken Sidetrack the Shit Out of Everything with Rebels
yes,
out of nowhere?
Yes.
We have
no,
a ton
that's
of shit
not
to
out
get
of
to.
Nowhere. No, 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 no.
We should talk about those things when you catch up on those things.
Yes, I'm getting there.
So, 437, better late than never. If you'd like to give us a call over at the GVM line, you can do that.
201-730-BKGS, also known as 2547.
That's right. And we have a voicemail, but we're going to play that a little bit later in the show because it kind of ties into something else we're going to talk about.
Yes.
Yeesh. Before we jump into this, into the prep sheet, the encyclopedia prep sheet.
It's actually not terrible.
It's not terrible.
No,
this week.
It is. No,
no, well, there's a lot on there. There's a lot of trailers
dense.
And stuff.
A lot
yeah,
of
it's
stuff
dense.
We can skip.
There is a lot of stuff we can skip. Look, I'd rather have more and not get to it than not have enough and just be rambling. But Sherlock, is everybody up to date on Sherlock?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
First episode I thought was meh. Second episode I thought was amazing, although fuck PBS. I'm just going to put that out there.
Why?
Because they're censoring it. Did you not notice like three times in the second episode?
I caught an asshole censored. I caught a bullshit censored, and I didn't miss. I didn't.
There was a third one. The third one was the worst one because when I realized what it wasn't so bad. But at first, it's when Sherlock is in the bed. Spoiler alert: Sherlock is in the bed and he's talking to Watson. Right. It's towards the end of the episode. He's in the hospital bed. And he says to Watson, they're having that exchange back and forth. And it's really kind of that it's the makeup scene. Right. And Sherlock says to Watson, yeah, I'm just a shit. Right.
Yeah.
Except that shit is bleeped out. And so I watched it and I'm just a, and I'm like, you're just a what? And I went back and I thought maybe I just didn't hear it.
You can't fault PBS for that.
Why not?
Because PBS follows the standards and practices that are set forth for public TV.
But doesn't it have that late night spot so they can get away with it?
Basic cable. That's not public broadcasting.
Well, it's PBS's choice because they're like a Fox 5,
right.
or ABC took the risks with Dennis Franz's ass a million years ago and all that. So there's flexibility after a certain hour. Sherlock started at 9,
yeah.
I think, on that
so
night.
It's still in the
so
zone,
isn't
it?
I don't know if 9 counts
it's
for
after 10.
It might be after 10. But I think it's also just PBS's specific choice because they are more of a family channel compared to any other.
But didn't PBS used to run Benny Hill episodes with half-naked women on them? Like literally
topless
boobies?
But not language.
No, it was always lingerie and Benny Hill. As they ran around fast motion with that.
I thought they were topless in some
of
them.
No.
It's always an exceptional thing,
yeah.
Even these days, if it's not a basic cable channel, for the language in particular to be used.
Right.
I'll give you one example. When Anthony Edwards' character, Mark Green, on ER was dying of cancer.
Right.
The episode that he died in, he screamed the word shit out.
Right.
And they allowed it. Because it was kind of very well, it served the moment very well.
It was a 10 o'clock show.
That was a 10 o'clock show. So it was, it was appropriate.
Okay.
So I think it's on a case by case basis. I've never heard anything on PBS though that used that kind of language.
All right.
No. Yeah. They censor everything. It's the Sesame Street channel.
It's
silly. So they
when
have
you
a
buy the DVDs,
vibe. Yeah,
they'll be uncensored.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm going to buy the DVDs.
I was thinking about getting them simply because the entire series will be a box that's only about that thin.
No, but that's what I mean. Like maybe at some point I'll get a complete collection or something. But
that's what I would.
I've cut back on buying.
Oh,
DVDs,
me too.
So
me too. I haven't bought them in a long time. I really haven't.
Disney is the only stuff I think I still buy regularly,
and Marvel. Stuff.
Yeah, and Marvel stuff.
All that stuff. Yeah. I actually
3D shit for me at this point. That's about it.
What I just picked up, OG? I got the third that I've been missing forever. The third, somebody was able to finagle this for me, a third season of Star Blazers.
Nice.
That I haven't had in a long time. Yeah.
Anyway. Voltron is coming back. Like next week, I think, or 2 weeks from now, by the way. Those toys hit too, by the way. They're pretty awesome, but they're fucking expensive. But we're not going to talk about that. Let's move into the news. Let's move into the prep sheet. Well, let's just start off with
DC. And with that, OG, we'll take our first break.
Yeah, we are about at that point.
No.
We are. Time-wise, we're about at that point.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
We're getting close.
We take that first break around 25 minutes or so. We're at 19
like
minutes.
And the more we debate the break, the closer we're getting to the goddamn break time.
All right. Let's talk about DC. We can...
It's going to be a long one, folks.
We can move through this like a quick diarrhea.
Oh, boy. So, we're talking about Warner?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Just a whoosh. So the Justice League photo popped up this week of the whole team. What was the – what was – I saw like Cosplay Vinny posted something about all these people and their memes. What was the Photoshop? What was wrong with the – I mean, other than some of the characters didn't look great.
I honestly –
what was the problem with the picture? Was there something weird about it?
I don't know what Cosplay Vinny was talking about.
Didn't he add Superman to it? I think he added Superman to his.
Was Superman not in the original photo?
I don't believe
I thought
so.
They all were.
I thought – yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, maybe Superman wasn't because he's dead.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I think somebody added – I think Vinny added him to it, if I remember.
I'm going to look it up.
All right.
Because the highlights were a little off and everything, so he looked like he was pasted in there versus being a part of the original photo.
Is that what he did?
I don't know. That might be – but there were other people photoshopping all kinds of crazy shit in there. I saw a group photoshopped in one.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I saw a confused Travolta in another. So, yeah, people are having some fun with that. And confused Travolta still doesn't look half as confused as poor Wonder Woman does in that photo.
No, I know.
She does not look happy to be in there.
I'm going to tell you something. When I first saw that photo, I thought it was an action figure of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was real. The expression on her face was plastic. That photo popped up online. Other than the fact that some people are complaining how some of the characters look, like I think Cyborg looks pretty awful. And I've said I've hated Ezra Miller's Flash costume pretty much
that
since the first
bad.
Time they dropped it. I don't know.
It looks broken. It looks like broken armor, his Flash
and
costume.
And what baffles me, it's one of the simplest goddamn things. And they so outlandishly overcomplicated, especially when you've got Cyborg in the mix there, who that's kind of your complicated costume right there. Flash
right.
is just put him in a fucking red onesie and be done with it. What's
he looks like Injustice
Flash.
He looks like Flash from the Injustice game.
But he's even more complicated than that, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, let's move beyond the photo and talk about what the news is.
Yeah, Superman is not in that photo,
photo.
It's just five of them.
We got to get him back first before he's in the league photo.
And he's in the – and that picture leaked or they released it of him with the long hair. And clearly has black around his collar, so we know how he's coming back. Mm. Let's get to the news part, which is Warner Brothers' desperate measures – to have everybody relax and stay on board with this universe of films. And they are doing everything that they possibly can to combat any negative word about any of these movies. For example, this week or last week, it came out about all the news came out about the Batman movie, which was, well, the script isn't done and it's a mess. And it looks like they're not going to start filming on time. And now it's in question whether Affleck will direct it or not.
Right.
And all of that stuff all swirled around the bowl all week.
And then Affleck came out and said...
Affleck went on Kimmel promoting nothing but to go on the... Oh, well, he talked about Live by Night, which was received poorly by everyone. Mm. He went on there to talk about that movie, even though that movie was... been out for 2 weeks already.
Right.
He went on Kimmel, and that was the bulk of their conversation was about that stuff and whatever the joke about Matt Damon or his brother, Casey, not thanking him when he won his Golden Globe, but he thanked every other person on the planet. What I found really hysterical about that, and I post a lot of this stuff on our Facebook. If you're not following us on Facebook, you should definitely do that. Because we post a lot of this stuff on Facebook as well. Yeah. What I found hysterical about it was that he went on and was seeming to calm everybody down by saying,
I'm working on it.
I'm doing it. I'm working on it. Everybody give me a break. Give me a chance.
This has been the problem.
Well, but the issue, Benjamin, if I may, the issue is every piece of word coming from anybody but you is exactly opposite of everything that you say. Everything.
The script is
screwed up. It isn't done. They don't know if Affleck's going to even direct
it anymore. And most of that is blogosphere speculation and whatnot. And interviewers are not leaving him alone about it. He goes to an interview.
Right.
One interview is about the home video release of The Accountant and talking about that. I'm here to talk about The Accountant. What about the fucking Batman movie?
Yeah.
And the next interview is for Live by Night. I'm here to talk about Live by Night and get that movie promoted. What about the motherfucking Batman? Everywhere he goes is nothing but Batman, Batman, Batman. And then in the sphere of the blogs is where all this a lot of nonsense speculation. Yeah. Well, he's being cagey about it, so this means that. Well, he said it this way, and that means the other thing. No, it's a work in fucking progress. It's not due until 2018. You got to get off the guy's junk about it and let the fucking project happen.
And I agree with you.
Yeah.
The issue is the stuff that's coming from people at Warner's and people at DC.
When is Justice League coming out? 2017 or 2018?
17.
That's this year.
Yeah. It is this year. Yep. Okay.
Wait, look. Or is it 2018?
Well, Wonder Woman, I know, is this year.
Oh, then it's 2018.
Justice League, we're not getting two?
I thought we were getting
two. Justice League is later this year. Yeah.
Are we sure about that?
Yes.
November 17th.
Yep.
Yep, there it is. Yeah. It's the end of this year.
So, look, I don't think you're going to hear anything at all about Batman outside of these rumors and swirls and blah, blah, blahs.
Right.
Until Justice League opens.
Right.
Because everything, I still say that there is a lot being hedged on whether Justice League or how Justice League performs.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to do well. There's no doubt in my mind that it is going to do well.
The first week.
It's how well it's going to do.
The first week.
You know, and how is it going to be received after that? Because Wonder Woman is still their best shot at this point, I think, hitting home runs.
Solo film.
Wonder Woman is, I think, what everyone involved in Warner and the whole DC universe, cinematic universe, as well as us, the fans, I think Wonder Woman is the gauge of, like, where are we at?
Now, wait, hold on.
And if Wonder Woman shits the bed...
Let me pitch this out to both of you. Why do you both think that way?
I think what way?
That Wonder Woman is going to be really good.
What? Because I think it's more anticipated.
Quite honestly?
What's giving you that feeling?
Her performance in Batman vs. Superman, I thought, was actually one of the best.
She was one of the glimmers of hope. Yeah.
The trailers look amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's a period piece
takes
away all of that dark, gritty blah, blah, blah.
I got that.
And if Ares is the actual villain...
It's still dark and gritty. Yeah.
But if Ares is the villain, by the way, I think that's awesome.
Right.
I love Ares.
Let me just caution you that Suicide Squad had an amazing trailer, too.
Yes, but...
I know it doesn't have these other things going for it.
But the only thing Suicide Squad had was an amazing trailer.
Yeah, but at the time, we were like, oh, wait a minute.
No, the trailer made me second guess my outright loathe for it.
Right.
But when I still looked at the cast of characters they chose and who they chose to play those characters, I still thought Suicide Squad was going to be decent at best.
Don't get me wrong. I am completely in agreement with both of you with regards to the Wonder Woman for all the reasons that we said.
Yep.
I'm completely with you on that. I'm just being a little bit more cautious because I feel we really got burned by the Suicide Squad trailer.
Well, let's move past Justice League and let's move past Batman for a minute and let's talk about Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Now, we talked about him last week. Me and PK talked about him last week because there was that image that popped up online of him and Henry Cavill sharing a drink.
Yeah.
Give me one moment. I have some crow here.
Yeah. How's that taste?
Wait, why are you eating crow?
Because I had been maintaining, like, because originally when they announced the Shazam film and Rock is Black Adam, so they were adamant that it was its own thing.
Yep.
It's not part of the DC cinematic universe.
No,
it's its own goddamn thing.
No.
And that's
the same universe, except it's way over there. That's what they said. In the farthest corner of the DC universe.
I thought the director was
It was Rock's. Go back and listen to the episode. It was the Rock's manager, who is also one of the producers on this film, who said, well, and this is what we were making fun of. He said, well, we'll see where we combine with, where we cross over with the DC universe. And what we were joking was, because if the DC universe shits the bed, they can still be in the farthest corner in the universe and not be affected by the shit. However, it seems to me, and this article and the photo of the Rock in front of the DC offices, it was great. I was laughing my ass off. Here's another blatant attempt for them to say, no, no, everything's fine, because Dwayne The Rock Johnson took meetings with the Warner Brothers people so, to discuss the universe. I almost died laughing.
So I was reading this. I was reading this article that you guys have in front of you, and one of the funniest lines in the article is I'm going to read it right here. Johnson, a crafty showman and producer, is appreciated around Hollywood for often being franchise Viagra.
I mean, if there's a dude that can save the universe, it's the fucking Rock. Right, now, the dude can save the literal universe, I'm convinced.
Let me say this. I love Dwayne Johnson.
Sure.
I don't Brilliant think man. There is a single movie that he's – even his shitty – even San Andreas, as wow. bad as it was.
Well, we said it last week. He survived the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
Instant respect for yeah. being able I mean, to survive the Tooth Fairy
was,
and still be
he was
relevant
great
today.
In Moana, he was great in that movie with Kevin Hart.
Yeah,
and
he's been
and,
great in
and,
lots right, of movies.
And here's where the beat up OG segment of the show starts.
Get the GVM ready there, PK.
I did not hate the Baywatch trailer. Oh. Mostly because of The Rock.
I'm not going to beat you
oh,
up for
yeah.
that.
No, I'm not going to beat you up for that.
I laughed my balls off at that trailer.
It. I think it's ridiculous that they're doing a Baywatch movie.
Yeah, but...
And they know that's it. That's fine. What's beautiful
but,
about yeah. it.
But they're making fun of themselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm also going to throw this out there real quick. I really like the Chips trailer, too. Michael Pena, anything he does, I think, is
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, he's funny.
And I like Dax Shepard also. So that's
he's
another
the modern
one.
Day Luis Guzman.
He is, but I think he's funnier. But yeah, so... But I look... The Rock could be franchise Viagra, although I don't know how much he gave. I don't think he gave G.I. Joe a Woody.
No, but, no, he didn't.
No, that pill underperformed. But
my only concern there is I don't disagree with you. Maybe about the franchise Viagra thing. I don't know if
I'm not saying
I don't even know if he has enough yeah, Viagra right. to lift this up.
I'm not saying he's franchise
what
Viagra.
What I found yeah. hysterical about it, though, is the fact that they're trucking out one of the biggest movie stars in the world, right? Not Affleck,
yeah.
who is an award-winning movie star and producer and writer and everything else.
Yeah.
They're trucking out The Rock to go, no, no, everything but, is fine. But, at the but, I've taken meetings.
Right. But think about this, though, right? Affleck, who's the award winner, right?
Yeah.
His movies, honestly, and I like Affleck, but yeah. his movies are...
He's got a lot of peaks and valleys.
Yeah, he's hit
and
miss.
Oh, no, no, no. That's right? not what I mean. What I mean
and,
is...
And people are just don't want to forgive him for something like Geely
yeah,
or...
The Rock is... The Rock literally is... He literally could almost do no wrong, and I think
right.
that's why they're doing it.
No, totally.
It's like no, look, but, come on, The Rock is on board, so you know,
that's exactly
like,
what I'm
it's
saying.
It's the people's movie star.
No,
like.
you don't understand. You don't understand. The Rock has taken meetings with the people at DC, and The Rock is goddamn guaranteeing that the DC Universe movies are going to be exceptional.
Yeah, exactly. So I understand why they're doing it. It makes sense.
I saw that picture, and I knew instantly what the article was going to be about, and yeah. I laughed my yeah. ass off.
All right. We have one more DC-related story.
Yeah.
David Goyer,
we just don't learn our lessons,
is helming Green Lantern Corps with Jon Stewart, and I've heard Hal Jordan as well is going to be in the film.
I can't believe that they've got Jon Stewart.
No, not that Jon Stewart.
Fresh from The Daily Show into Green Lantern.
Not that Jon Stewart.
I was confused.
So we've been wondering where Green Lantern is. He's really the missing piece. Like, honestly, why do we not have the Green Lantern movie before we have the Cyborg movie? I'm sorry, but why? That's a stupid
I can sum it up for
move.
You in two words.
Yeah, I know.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, but now is their chance to re-season that shit stew.
I don't agree with you at all on this. I think they should leave Green Lantern alone. It was such a bomb and such a failure, bigger even than the three that we've already gotten. It was a bigger bomb than those.
It was, but you can't do the Justice League without Green Lantern.
I don't disagree with you, but like, you can also do them in waves. You're not going to Martian Manhunter this time around either.
I agree with you.
He's one of the original seven.
I agree
seven.
With you. So, all right. So why Cyborg then and not Green Lantern? Or why Cyborg and not Martian Manhunter?
I I can answer that question.
Yeah?
But I figured you would know the answer to that question, OG.
I don't know.
Why Cyborg?
I don't know that that's the reason.
What is different about Cyborg than the other people in the group?
I think Cyborg is a popular character currently. Teen Titans Go and other places. But he's not going to be that character. He's not going to be the goofy.
I know. And Cyborg, that's the problem. He's also not one of the original seven.
Nope.
So what reason could there possibly be to stick Cyborg in there?
I don't know. All right. But look, I don't know. It's hard for me to get excited about anything in that universe. I want to see a Green Lantern movie done well.
Oh, yeah.
For all the reasons.
Good luck.
But exactly. But I've wanted to see all of these movies done well.
When it was ramping towards Green Lantern, and it really looks like Armie Hammer is going to be our Hal Jordan.
Yeah,
like it's just
he deserves it after not getting Batman.
Pretty much, yeah.
And after doing Lone Ranger,
and I think he's a better fit anyway for Green Lantern. I think he would be an excellent Green Lantern. A lot of speculation as far as who John Stewart might end up being. I'd be interested. I think Michael B. Jordan came up in like fan casting discussions and all. I think he's an easy go to because of Creed.
No, but isn't Michael B. Jordan? Wasn't he cast in a Marvel movie recently?
Yes, he is in Black Panther now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So he's not going to hop.
So that won't happen.
Yeah, he was cast in Black Panther. Wasn't he in Fantastic Four?
Oh, he was. Okay,
he was in Fantastic Four.
And he got cast
in Black Panther.
Oh, I don't know who
he's playing, but he's
in
Black Panther.
I know Felicia Rashad recently was cast in Black Panther.
But I was excited that Green Lantern was being talked about. I'm like, okay, Armie Hammer's a winner. But once they announced David Goyer on the script.
The only
glimmer of hope in David Goyer is the fact that in the case of a Green Lantern film now, where DC's at now, he has to answer to Geoff Johns, who's got a better grasp and handle on everything.
Especially
than where
Green Lantern.
A little more loose with the other stuff.
Answer two, I think, is a bit strong.
Didn't Goyer, I know we shit on Goyer a lot, right?
If it doesn't fly for Geoff Johns, Goyer's got to go back to the page.
If it doesn't fly for Geoff Johns and the table of suits. That make those. I think you're confusing a little, maybe the way Marvel works and the way DC works.
Well,
or Warner. And again, I keep saying, everybody, stop saying DC universe. It's the Warner universe. And the reason
I say that is the cinematic universe.
Well, okay. So like, but the DC TV universe, like, I don't know. I just think it's easier just to say Warner. Anyway, that's just me nitpicking. But I think the point is that Marvel movies answer to their creative director. Who is essentially Kevin Feige at this point, essentially, and a couple other little monkeys.
That's how you pronounce that?
Feige.
I never knew that.
I think it's Feige, actually.
Whatever. The point is that is the one.
Feige.
But Geoff Johns does not have that position. Geoff Johns does not have that position. Geoff Johns is the creative supervisor. I can't remember exactly what his title is. So essentially. Yes, everything has to run by him, but he can be overrun by the table. That's the reason.
I think they paraded Geoff Johns out there to make us think that he was the Kevin Feige, but I don't think he wields as much power as
he does. That's really the one of the things in the South Park episode of South Park. Family Guy episode of South Park. Manatees.
The manatees are in the final say.
Yeah, so
he's definitely you're definitely correct. He's a gateway. He's just not locked.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Or the last one.
All right. Do we want to what do we have left? Do we want to take a break? Or do we want to keep pushing a little bit?
It might be a good bet to take. That's a good break.
Because I know we have a bunch of product tonight, too.
A lot of this we can hit. I think we're done with DC at that point, though.
All right. Well, we have a voicemail that I want to play.
So let's do that now.
For a couple of reasons, let's play that.
Okay. Here we go.
Hey guys, this is Doesn't Get It Guy from the Southwest. It appears that I went and saw the movie The Accountant, and I actually got the Batman movie that I was looking for without a cowl. I actually enjoyed that movie. Still in a bit of a cringeworthy mode about the upcoming Batman film, but hopefully we'll get that figured out. On a side note, looks like OG, I'm going to be the lucky guy to moderate a panel with your buddy Rob Liefeld, so I'm looking forward to that. I'll let you know how that one goes. That's coming up on the 13th of January here in Albuquerque. Hope you guys are keeping warm out there. Take it easy and keep listening. And you can find me at Fuzzy Press on Twitter. Bye.
I love that guy. He's a good guy. But
I had a hard time hearing his
Fuzzy
his
Press.
Fuzzy Press.
Okay. Doesn't get a guy.
Doesn't get it. Yeah, but so. So we have to talk. So he tied into the Batman conversation. He tied into Rob Liefeld, which we're going to get to in a second. Right? See how I did this?
Oh, yeah. You're smart.
But first, we have to talk about... So we have Google Voice, right? And Google Voice sends us...
the translation.
An MP3, which is what we play on the show.
Right.
But it also sends us an attempt at a translation. And they have been pretty bad so far. Like awful. We haven't... We joked about it, but we haven't talked about it. But this week... It took Rob Liefeld, and it created into Rob Life Failed.
Wow.
So accurate. Well, maybe Google Voice has it right.
Oh, never considered that angle, did you? I cried. It took me 10 minutes to forward that to you guys because I had to stop shaking because I was crying from laughing so hard.
So why
are we going to talk about Rob Liefeld? Because we heard this week that Peter Dinklage is being considered, not officially cast, he's being considered, which means he's going to be cast.
And it's like I've told you, it's like whenever Disney floats a name, you pretty much are guaranteed, unless there's such a huge backlash, that it's pretty much guaranteed. Like Woody Harrelson.
Right.
Just got cast in the young Han Solo movie. But they
were floated a week before.
It was floated a week before.
And who doesn't love Peter Dinklage? I mean, especially with his run on Game of Thrones right now. He is definitely in the spotlight and on everybody's mind.
And the station agent and X-Men Days of Future Past.
Plenty of things. But
that's all I got, actually.
But there have been speculations as to who he's going to portray in Avengers. He's in Avengers 3 and 4?
Infinity War.
So which is 3. Yeah.
It's just three.
For now, I mean, depending on who he is, it's...
Oh, no. What I mean to say is that...
Avengers, Infinity War is Avengers 3.
Correct.
There is no title for 4.
Correct.
Right.
It was initially 1 and 2.
Correct. So as soon as I heard that Peter Dinklage was being considered for a role, me and 95% of the population on planet Earth, I think, went to MODOK because they've been talking about MODOK. I forget who it was, but a couple of years ago, someone in an interview, someone was like, yeah, we're going to get MODOK into a movie. We're going to figure out how to have
it. Everybody said that.
And he's a good character. And, you know, it seems like a fit for Peter Dinklage.
Definitely weird. Definitely a weird character to try to pull off. But I think that fits kind of perfectly in sort of where they're at with regards to Infinity War. I think that works really nicely. Mm. However,
Rob Liefeld has another theory,
and
that it was going to be Pip the Troll.
Mm.
Now, I could actually see that as a good choice. We talked about this a little before the show, right?
Yeah.
I could see it making sense because he would...
You'll say what you say?
Yeah.
And I'll say what
I think that he would fit into the Guardians of the Galaxy piece of this puzzle. Right,
and I would love to see him interact with them.
That's
as
what I
Pip
mean.
The Troll.
That's what I mean.
However,
I mean he's integral to bringing Adam Warlock to the Marvel Universe.
Yeah,
which there's been a sort of tease that he's coming, and he still might have one of the last gems, and all these other things, and such. So I still think we're going to get Adam Warlock, and if that's the case, I see Pip as a good choice for Peter Dinklage.
The only downside to that, I mean, that pretty much cements him as Hollywood's only little person if they go that route.
But you know what?
Name another one.
Exactly.
You know what, but MODOK is kind of a little person after he gets deformed and mushed into the chair.
That's what I mean. That's why it could work.
Yeah. I mean, either one. MODOK was the most obvious, I think.
Right.
And I'm going to give Life a little bit of credit. I think Pip is a good, out of the box thought at a character, but it hinges on Adam Warlock.
He's also being cast as Puck Alpha Flight.
Right, but that would be easy. That would be because even Pip the Troll is deformed by something to become Pip the Troll.
Yeah.
So they have some loosey-goosey. But you know, I was just thinking a bit of this now. If we're going to get her in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and her was created by the same people who brought us Adam Warlock,
right,
and they're not going to give us Adam Warlock, maybe Pip the Troll's tie is to her and not Adam Warlock. Maybe that's a workaround if they're not going to give us...
If he appears in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I'll buy that.
Sure.
Like in a cutscene or the end, you know?
End credit scene.
Yeah, yeah, I would think that might work.
Are they doing one of those for Guardians?
What, an end credit scene?
Post credit scene?
Is it a Marvel movie?
That's rare.
Yeah, it's very rare. And I like to float this also. Matthew McConaughey for Adam Warlock.
For Adam Warlock?
There. Just putting that out there.
That's an interesting pick. He's going to be, he's tied up with the gunslinger shit though now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think he's too old, too.
Who's producing the Gunslinger chip? Is that Disney doing that?
No.
No.
It isn't?
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, well,
it's Paramount, isn't it? Or
Paramount?
Is it?
Maybe Universal?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know. Whoever Stephen King, whoever Stephen King is in bed with right now.
He turned down something. I read an article recently. I can't remember what it is now. He turned down something in order to take those
yes,
movies.
I read that same thing, and I can't remember what the hell it was now.
Is it a Marvel role or DC? It was something you were like, wow, he turned that down to do this?
It was something impressive.
I don't remember
impressive.
What it was.
Yeah. But I from what I've been reading and looking at involving the Gunslinger stuff, I think he made the right choice. I'm very excited about what's to come with that. I can't wait for a trailer.
All right. Let's hit a couple more Marvel things. Let's hit everything that's not comic books and product real quick.
Liv Tyler
is coming back as Betty Ross in Avengers event. Well, she was on the cast list, right?
Was she?
Yeah, I think that's what they said. I think the report said is that her name was on the cast list.
Which is great because that kind of cements in the Norton Hulk movie as canon.
And
even though Thunderbolt Ross kind of did that already.
But that makes sense because it's good because maybe she's integral to bringing Hulk back from his
Ragnarok.
His intergalactic escapades, as it were. So that'll be interesting if it plays out. Moving to TV, the CW renewed all of its comic book shows.
What?
With
no.
the exception of iZombie has not been renewed yet.
Uh-oh.
That doesn't mean it's not going to be renewed, but iZombie also hasn't returned yet. It's a mid-season return, so they're probably going to wait to see how the mid-season plays out before they make that announcement. But the bigger news, I think, coming out of the CW is that they're bringing Constantine.
Oh, right.
To their animated universe.
Right.
They're using Matt Ryan to voice the character. It's going to be on the CW seed, much like Vixen is. The important part about that to me is, first of all, Matt Ryan should play Constantine. Whatever form it is, he should do it. I'm glad to see him do it. The part about that is that CW seed, those animated shows, are canon in the CW TV universe.
No shit.
So the original Vixen, not the Vixen that's on Legends.
Right.
The original Vixen premiered on the animated show, and then they brought her into the CW universe. The Vixen that's on Legends is actually the great-grandmother of the Vixen in the current timeline from the animated show and the TV show.
Jesus Christ.
So
I
should have pulled I'm my own grandpa for
The important part about that is it means that Constantine is still in the universe as canon, which means that he'll stay fresh. And it means that when they want to use him, they can. They could yank him into an episode or two or into a story arc because they have Matt Ryan under contract. They have the rights to the character.
Right.
And he's part of the canon. And I should also say on Vixen, both Stephen Amell and Grant Gustin have appeared as Flash and Arrow.
They voice the character.
They have voiced the character. Blank. So that it's really one universe.
And right.
This to me just means that there's a lot of opportunity to use that character. If they're not going to give him his own live action show, this is a good way to keep him in the universe and keep him from just fading into obscurity.
Nice.
That's good news. I think that's it. I think that's it. That's outside of comic book and then this is the PK is going to throw stuff across the room segment of the show.
Nope. Just not going.
You're not going to do it?
Just not going to see it.
What? Which one?
Channing Tatum.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Channing Tatum.
Who?
Sorry.
Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll see a movie with Channing Tatum.
I didn't even want to say his name. Is still tied to the
Churning
Gambit.
Channing Tatum.
Whoa. He's still tied to the Gambit movie.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And that's still moving forward.
That's still moving forward.
Yeah.
Nope.
No, not gonna happen?
Nope.
Not taking the bit?
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
No?
All right.
Nope.
I think that's it.
Nope.
We have some comic book news, and we have some... you know what we can do real quick also? There was a new trailer for Archer, which is very interesting, if you saw that new trailer that dropped last week.
That I've missed so far.
Yeah. It's very interesting because it's set in a different time period.
Oh, I did hear about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of speculation as to why that is. So at the end of last season, Archer was shot lying presumably on his way to death in the pool, if you remember.
Right, I do remember that.
So a lot of the speculation, the big speculation is right now, is that this season is going to be Archer living his ultimate spy fantasy in his mind, and it's going to be
in a coma,
and it's going to be him clawing his way back to, because everybody else is also in the trailer, but they're not there. Like, Mallory is not his mother.
Okay.
In the trailer, she's like the villain.
Gotcha.
But it's not mother. Well, so it's,
they put it in a James Bond, like, you know, 50s, 60s time period.
Or no, actually more like, I think it was more like 20s, 30s. I think it was more like flapper kind of. But it's you have to see it. It's really weird.
I'll check it out.
It's a good theory.
We talked about Chips and Baywatch.
Yep. Did you see the trailers for the Santa Clarita Diet yet?
No.
Oh my God.
What is that?
So this is the new Netflix series that's coming out in a couple weeks. February 3rd, I think it premieres. It's the new Drew Barrymore Netflix series.
Okay.
She's playing a zombie.
Ah. Okay.
The Santa Clarita Diet is, it's a joke on what she's eating, you know, to stay young and fitful. The two commercials that they've put out so far are, there's no clips or segments from the show. The one commercial is Drew Barrymore in the red dress in front of the just white background, talking about the Santa Clarita Diet the same way they would have a commercial about Nutrisystem. It's brilliant. The second one is with Timothy Oliphant, who's playing her husband.
Okay.
And he's talking about how great it is, but he's like fidgety and nervous the entire trailer. No, it's great. She looks great. She looks wonderful. And, you know, things are a little bit weird sometimes. And then, like, the fast-talking text scroll comes up. Santa Clarita, blah, 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 may cause, blah, blah, blah. And meanwhile, he's acting out what she's doing to some guy in the park. And he's, like, kicking over the chair. And, like, he's, like, fake biting someone's neck and doing the blood. It really looks funny and clever.
All right.
The promos that they put out are brilliant marketing. They sold me on the show.
Is that original or is it based on something?
No, I think it's original.
Okay.
It looks really good. There was a viral image that hit online last week that they had slipped into a bunch of magazines and people didn't realize it at first, but it's Drew Barrymore sitting in the red dress and it just says the Santa Clarita Diet and she's holding a glass, a smoothie cup, like it looks like a Nutribullet cup type cup.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look closely, there's like fingers and eyeballs and entrails in the glass. It's
nice.
Seek out the promos. I think it's really funny. And then there was a new Cars 3 trailer that looks really cool. But other than that, I think we could take our break now.
Yeah, we definitely should do that.
Yeah, we ran over. That's all right.
All right, gentlemen. With that, we will take our first and only break on episode 437 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Better Late Than Never.
Yay!
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. After sitting out the holiday hustle and bustle, Nintendo have made their big announcement about their next handheld/home console, the Nintendo Switch. The Switch will be released on March 3rd, 2017, for a retail price of $300. The good news is the system probably won't be as hard to find as the NES Classic. The bad news is because the launch lineup is pretty pathetic. Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild is in fact a launch title, but beyond that, there's not much until the summer when Splatoon 2 is released, and then holiday 2017 with the newest 3D Mario game, Super Mario Odyssey, which looks amazing. It's a cross between Super Mario Sunshine and Super Mario Galaxy, so eventually, you'll want to buy a Switch. But there were a lot of teases for games that you know will be far off or completely absent IPs. It makes you wonder what Nintendo was actually developing for 3 years while letting the Wii U die. Other notable games for you to check out on YouTube: a two-player Punch-Out style game titled Arms, Bomberman R, which looks kind of budget, but at least it's a Bomberman game that exists, and a new game from Square Enix titled Project Octopath Traveler. That's Project Octopath Traveler. Best working title ever. So it might sound like I'm down on the Switch. And I'm not. It's just the Nintendo story once again. You buy the system for Mario and Zelda, and then there's a handful of first-party Nintendo exclusives that you probably could live without, and nearly non-existent third-party support. It's a game company that has problems with games. The $300 price tag seems great if you're coming off of a console background, but really high if you're upgrading from a new 3DS. Remember, this is the handheld/home console solution. This will be everything for Nintendo. And the horsepower, or lack thereof, the Switch was thought to originally have, as in on par with an Xbox One, it's not. So the price might be more attractive at $250, which I could see waiting for a sale during the holiday 2017 when Mario comes out to pick up a Switch. And that sounds like the plan, because the Nintendo press conference did not inspire me to run out and buy a Switch at launch. Although I may have pre-ordered one so I could think about it. And finally, we got some release dates. Injustice 2, the fighting game that looks better than any DC movie, has a release date of May 16th, 2017. I originally thought they were going to pair the movie up with the summer blockbuster, heavy air quotes, the Justice League movie, but that's in November. So whatever. Injustice 2 will be out May 16th, 2017 on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and here's what I'm talking about, not Nintendo Switch. Mass Effect Andromeda, a game I still think will suffer a last-minute delay, has a release date of March 21st, 2017. Or as EA pointed out, released on 3-2-1. I really like that marketing. Mass Effect Andromeda will be released on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC, and not Switch. Double Dragon 4. Yeah, that's right, you heard me. Made in the spirit of an old-school NES classic Double Dragon game, gets an identical-looking sequel on January 29th. Probably on Switch. And finally, Red Dead Redemption 2 has a rumored release date of October 2nd, which is just a placeholder date, but I thought Kev would want to know. We also already knew that Red Dead 2 was coming out October-ish 2017, so it's nothing earth-shattering. Red Dead Redemption 2 is rumored to be out October 2nd for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and certainly not Nintendo Switch. This is Coke Logic signing off for GameStop.
Build the Millennium Falcon. A one-to-one replica of the original Empire Strikes Back movie prop. Working lights and stunning interior detail. Complete with a moving ramp. Build the Millennium Falcon step by step with your comprehensive build guides, die-cast metal, and highly detailed resin parts. Call now or go online to buildmillenniumfalcon.com and get started today.
Back. For this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 437, Better Late Than Never. If you'd like to hear yourself on a future episode of the show, you can give us a call over at the GVM line.
201-730-BKGS, a.k.a. 2547.
Yes.
And of course,
people are going to be like, how can I dial a.k.a.?
Shoot yourself. That's how.
And if you want to become part of buildamillenniumfalcon.com, give them a call over at 877-544-6779. One of the finest Star Wars collectibles that you can be a part of out there in the world. And what a great, terrific product that is. And I think we might be coming close to our particular one, our show version of it being... like having all the parts. I was about to say being done, but no, that ain't happening yet. And yeah, so very exciting. We have product. We have a lot of very exciting product.
We do
this week. Speaking of great Star Wars collectibles, but I want to do the DC collectibles stuff first.
Yes,
because
let's do that first.
You want to do this one first?
Yes.
Everything we're going to talk about, of course, you can go over to DCComics.com. You can find stuff about it there. The first thing we want to talk about tonight. Now, you know, in this program, if you've listened at all, we have discussed most of the Batman black and white statues that have come out. The series has been going on. It's for, probably the majority of the time that we've done this
yeah,
show.
It's 10-ish years.
It's been a really long time.
Some of the early product you guys talked about, yeah.
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 And, of course, I'm a huge fan. OG, a huge fan as well.
Amazing shelf you had.
I did.
Lights
yeah, with all the lights in it. And that was like... And I had like 9 then.
Right.
And I have like 109 now. So, like, I have all of them. I'm a super... It is one of the few collections that whenever I do a culling, if you will, yeah. of the collection or a thinning, I'm like, nope, not touching those mm-hmm. because I find them amazing, sculpting, design-wise,
beautiful
and everything
pieces.
Else.
Really are.
And they've gone from doing this sort of kind of I'm standing on 2 feet static Batman poses to ones like Jock, where
Jock's
he's literally flying yeah. downward. Amazing.
That is still one of the most amazing statues,
ever.
I think, just in general
yeah.
ever.
Yeah. yeah. DC Comics, DC Collectibles, they're doing it right over there. You're definitely going to want to check that out. And in that vein, they've started a new collector series. Now, they tried... they tried and ended one already with Superman.
Right.
They tried to do one where different artist interpretations of Superman would be represented as statues. They're doing one also of Wonder Woman.
There's a Wonder Woman one.
I think the Wonder Woman one is still going, but I think the Superman one is finished.
I know at last year's Toy Fair, by the way, Toy Fair is like 3 weeks away.
I know.
I know at last year's Toy Fair, we saw at least two or three new Wonder Woman statues
yes,
that
yes.
have come out during the course of this year.
But this, I think the Superman one is finished, though. I think it was four, and
I think
that was
so,
it.
Yeah.
And then we also saw this line.
Right.
We only saw, like, the first one, two?
We saw the two that are on the box, actually. We
yes.
saw the Christmas Harley
right.
designed by Amanda Connor.
And, of course, this is the Harley Quinn black, white, and red right. line. And it was the other one was the Harley Quinn...
Arkham Asylum.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, Arkham Asylum. Correct, yes.
Wonderful. Who did? Does it say who did the design on that one?
Based on artwork created yeah. by Ceylon Une Illustration Sri Par.
Yeah, I mean, look, those two were gorgeous.
Both of them. Oh, Amanda Connor.
Yeah, I said Amanda Connor. Yeah. I really like the Amanda Connor one, too. That's like the Christmas Harley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really cute one. But this one.
This one, I knew OG was going to go completely berserk for. Friend of this show, Aunt Lucia.
You know, I've been a fan of Aunt Lucia since before the Bombshell thing.
I know. That's like the cool thing to say. I love saying that, too.
Like
we knew Aunt Lucia before he was humongous.
Before Aunt Lucia had even, like, I don't want to say came up with the Bombshells, because I don't know when he came up with it. But before they were prints and before they were in the DC books.
Right.
I owned 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I'm looking around.
4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I own.
Are those all Aunt Lucia up there?
Oh,
I didn't remember that.
That set of six.
Yeah.
Up there, the three Star Wars pieces.
So that's
and,
9.
Peter and Mary Jane.
That's right. That's 10.
So yeah, I had 10. I had 9 Aunt Lucia pieces.
Where's the Pete and MJ?
But it's over here.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
That one, yeah.
Before he did the Bombshells.
Correct. And so we have the Harley Quinn black, white, and red Bombshell Harley statue. Really terrific. I'm going to hand that off to OG. Same scale as a Batman black and white. So they're about 6
inches. Is it the same
inches.
Scale? I thought they were smaller.
No, they're the same.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's about 6
inches. I guess
inches.
Batman is just such a bigger character.
He is. Yeah. Well, the cape.
The cape.
Yeah. I know what you're thinking.
Because
the box is so small.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look at the piece.
Yeah. No, I feel you.
You know, like it's just kind of straight on. Really well done. Really. Who's the sculptor on there? Does it
the
say?
Tim Miller. We talk about Tim Miller stuff.
Wasn't Tim
Miller? Tim Miller, we met.
Yeah, wasn't
at,
that him?
New Jersey Comic Expo in November.
Tim Miller.
He was the guy. He actually had one of these at the table that day,
That's
but he wasn't
right.
allowed to sell it
That's
because it hadn't
right.
been released yet.
Yeah.
He has that Green Arrow statue that I don't have.
Yep. That. Oh, look at that! Just hurts.
It hurts. Like, I felt it in my spine. But we've talked about Tim Miller's work on this show as a sculptor for years.
Absolutely.
Because he's done a ton of stuff we love for DC.
Yeah. And what's great about this, of course, is it's based on Aunt Lucia's artwork.
Yep.
Another absolutely, in my opinion, flawless transition between
He nailed it.
Between the 2D Aunt Lucia and the Tim Miller 3D representation. And really a cute concept. Like Batman Black and White, they only use black and white, but they also have added in the red.
Well, that's her, like...
Thing. Yeah, that's, like, her color scheme. I get it. It's really... I thought it was a really cute idea, which actually successfully built upon the Batman Black and White
sure.
model, whereas the Superman one, kind of the same scale, around 6 inches, done by different artists, but it was just kind of like there was no sort of...
Yeah.
They were lacking a gimmick, I think.
I think some right. of the Superman ones, and I'm going to say this.
They were nice.
They were very nice. And the Wonder Woman ones are very nice as well.
Yeah, really.
But I think the nature of those two characters, as opposed to Batman, there's something about them that is less dynamic.
Correct.
I think. Yeah. Batman, no matter what you did with, even with the standard standing up pose Batman.
Right.
Just the swirl of the cape. In whatever position you put the cape in,
yeah,
it adds a really dynamic feature to that character.
Right.
And Superman has a cape too, I know, but his cape is always just kind of like...
There.
It's like just kind of straight falling behind.
Not an extension.
Yeah, very stoic,
yeah.
Superman. And I think maybe the breadth of that line was cut short by the lack of the dynamic representations that they can do. Fantastic. If you're a collector... of either of those characters.
Oh, yeah.
You should... What was the one really crazy Wonder Woman one?
Oh, it was like the animated. It was like... there was some animation.
It almost looked like a... Was it Jim Mafute? It almost looked like his style, but it wasn't him. You know which one I'm talking about, right?
I do. I just can't
remember
what it is.
The very angular jaw. Yeah. Gorgeous statues, but again, I think something about those characters.
I really appreciated the fact that they chose that one.
Yep.
It
was based on an artist's
animated
work, but,
like an animated short or something, wasn't it? I think it was.
Hey Kev, before I go ahead and do this, I noticed the foam is detaped. Do you mind if I take a look at the actual piece?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. No. Okay. Yeah, no. We're about to take it out anyway. We can't just judge it by the box.
Oh, it's an that I'm doing the unboxing.
You are doing the unboxing,
oh, and that says bottom. So we don't want that. Oh, top. Here we go. And the box is beautiful. It's the printing in the letters of top are.
You always have to be careful about where the base is. That's the part that causes the biggest problem.
Being very gingerly.
It's that one, isn't it?
Yes. Who is the artist?
Robert Valley.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's based. I think that's based on some little short animation thing.
Yeah.
PK, what do you think?
She is outstanding.
Right? Yeah. The sculpting and the really... you know what? Pictures don't do it justice because it's really kind of hard to pick up some of the really great details like that gun. Like, you don't pick up that gun in any photo very well.
And nope, I'm also...
Not at all.
You also don't pick up... It's hard on the photo probably just because of the lighting scheme, but it's hard to pick up some of the gray highlights. They look very flat.
Right.
In the photo, and
right.
I think that's just because it's hard to photograph.
Sure.
But on the piece itself, they look really good. It's really nice detailing.
And no photo goes low enough to capture the detail of the Joker card tucked in her stocking. That is a great, fun little detail in there. I love it. This is great.
Yeah.
So terrific details. And that really is kind of the hallmark of these DC statues. I really like the fact that they're doing them in the same scale as Batman Black and White. I think they're fantastically collectible. They're easily displayed because they don't take up a lot of space.
And the base is also no slab. It's not just a generic base. They actually have a nameplate going with it. I think that's terrific.
I think all three of them, I don't know, I'd have to look on the box to see if the other ones show the bases. I think all the bases are also being – are they also – all Harley.
Yep,
Quinn.
Same style base.
Same style base.
That Harley Quinn logo that they created.
Really terrific. Really terrific stuff. These are going to run you probably, what are they, like 70 bucks usually, 60, 70 bucks? Which, again, affordable if you want to collect a series of pieces that's going to, if you're a Harley Quinn fan, if you're an excellent sculpture fan, DC fan.
One more time on that price point. These are like 60 bucks.
No, like I think they're 60, more 70 like bucks? 70. Yeah, somewhere in there. 70, 80, somewhere in there.
I'm just that's a good price point. That's an attainable price point to collect these things and to keep at them.
Yeah.
It's just it stuns me and frustrates me a little bit because there was a certain small
maybe they're a little higher
little damn piece series not terribly long ago that is a quarter of the size of what we're looking at. Similar material, but a quarter of the size and the detail, and
the price was a little higher.
The price was
relatively the same.
The price was at like $50 for those things, and for $20 more, you've got more product.
Now I'm worried. Now I'm worried. I quoted the wrong price.
Maybe that's.
I don't think I'm
going to the Googles there, sir.
I'm going to look it up.
All right.
Because I want to make sure that we're getting out the proper information here. But I think they've been around. They might have gone up a little bit in price.
Go the other way, sir?
OG, I'm with the top.
I can't get her back in the foam.
Keep trying. You better get used to this because,
okay, that's,
you know, 2017, weird. The year of the return of Live from Studio V, sir.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't get it back in the foam.
Hey, you want me to stick around with that? I'm the dope that took it out.
No. I wanted you to take it out. I want to be able to put it away until we're done with the show. So she's safe and sound. All right. Well, look. Let's not banter over the price. I'll look it up. Why don't you?
Yeah, look it up. Yeah, I was right. Yeah, that's around the right price. Yeah, like $60-$70. I looked it up on Amazon. $60-$70, yeah. Right around there. $70-$80. That's the price. That's a good price too. Again, yep. Good collectible price point. It's going to be a terrific series if it has any longevity to it, like Batman does. I think Batman might have a little bit more longevity than Harley Quinn, but there certainly are enough versions of Harley Quinn, enough artists who have worked on Harley Quinn, where you could definitely see there would be a lot of potential for the series to continue.
The ever changing morphing Harley Quinn. So, yeah, great piece. Check it out. Check out DC Collectibles. They put out awesome stuff.
DCComics.com, I think, is your gateway into finding all those DC Collectibles stuff.
Yes. Let's move on.
Do you want to talk about the other one?
No, we're going to say
that.
We're going to say that one.
All right. I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am about our final thing we're going to talk about on the show tonight, because I see that we're running out of time. But we are not running out of time because we will not dare to give 1 second less to a sideshow piece that we talk about.
No, it's amazing.
We're talking tonight about
Wow.
Yeah. Well, PK, you're familiar with this quality because you and I both have a soft spot.
Does it come with a print? I am a sideshow.
That's the cover part. Yeah.
Fan to begin with.
Right.
I'm glad that they this isn't a sideshow produced piece.
It's Hot Toys.
They're going through Hot Toys now for their Star Wars stuff, and I think their Marvel Cinematic stuff is through Hot Toys. But it is no less quality than what we're used to with sideshow. And that's we talk about culling earlier.
Yeah.
My Obi-Wan stuff. I have the 12-inch 1/6 scale Obi-Wan figures.
I'm still working on that last one.
With the exception of the Padawan, I have the full evolution of Obi-Wan, including little. Imagined Clone Wars one of him in the Stormtrooper armor. I love that piece. So Sideshow themselves, no slouches, certainly produced amazing, beautiful pieces that I have no plans of getting rid of.
Right.
But that said, fucking Hot Toys, man.
I know.
This is...
I know. So well, let's say what we're talking about. Yeah, I'm trying... I don't want to interrupt your enthusiasm, but we're talking about the Stormtrooper. This is the Jedha Patrol, TK-14057.
Right.
This would be from Rogue One.
Yeah.
So you know this is a fresh piece because that movie just came out. OG was noting earlier that he's much, in a way, like a sand trooper from episode 4.
Yes.
Well, and that he has, it's traditional armor with the orange pauldron.
Yep.
But what really makes him stand out is his accessories.
His rucksack.
Yeah.
Or soft goods, if you will. I can't believe the level of detail.
What the shit?
That has gone into every piece of this figure. And I'm going to hand this off to PK so he can check it out.
Give me.
The rucksack.
Wow.
Right? Also, a piece that I'm not going to pass around is there's a wired antenna, which, there it is. There's a wired antenna that's actually made out of wire.
Does that go on the rucksack?
That goes on the rucksack. Yeah, can you see it? And it's like, it's actual metal.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very frail, tiny little piece.
It is.
So I'm keeping it aside so it doesn't get...
So it's an antenna for whatever communications device is in said sack.
I presume, whatever's going on with the sack. I'm not exactly sure what's going on with the sack. I'm going to go over to sideshowtoy.com and I'm going to look this one up. Now, it's currently waitlisted, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't put yourself on that waitlist.
Get on the list.
Because
I have succeeded on that waitlist.
I have too.
Except the last one I did not succeed on, but I was anyway. The point is OG is now examining the level of detail.
That's phenomenal. Yeah.
The level of detail on these pieces that are coming to us from Sideshow via Hot Toys or Hot Toys via Sideshow. OG pointed this out earlier. The pauldron is padded.
Yes.
It's not just a simple,
it's like a
flat piece of plastic.
like a leatherette, yeah, I guess it's is like the word. It's
faux
it
leather.
Maintains the texture of what that actual piece is. It's an actual costume piece versus a hunk of molded plastic.
And did you also feel in between the armor?
I'm gonna it's all fabric.
Yeah, I'm gonna hand. I didn't actually. I want to hand this back to PK so he can flip out.
Very quickly, I want to go back to the rucksack.
Yes.
All the buckles on the rucksack are legit.
A legit buckle.
The pouches, two of the three pouches for sure, you could actually open and store stuff in.
Amazing. You also get the rifle. I'm going to hand that around as well.
He's got the full underbody, the body sock.
Yeah, he's got the body sock on underneath.
And you know, and it's not just a black fabric body sock. The sock has detail.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the level of detailing that you're going to get. Now, you know, we're going to direct you. We're going to put up some links. I'm going to have OG put up some links so you can check out some photos of this great piece. I think those are extra joints.
They are.
For certain, I'm imagining.
They are.
That is absolutely outstanding.
These are, I recognize these as a regular collector. These are likely wrist joints.
Yes. Yeah. And we should say
he comes with three sets of hands.
Yep.
Four and a half sets of hands.
I'm sure to hold the rifle with.
Yeah.
Also comes with a base. Now, I'm going to show you the base. It's that detailed Jetta base at the bottom there. Very nicely done.
Textured. And it's a textured sand Jetta base. Uh-huh. It's got a placard on the front that says Imperial Stormtrooper Jetta Patrol.
Right.
And it's nice because it's not just a flat base. It's actually raised up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a nice display piece.
It is.
Hey,
terrific display piece.
What is that little metal piece?
I don't know if that came off of something. Yeah, I don't know if that's something that's like just in the bag. It looks like a hole punch. But
I'm not sure that's the
only one that's in there.
Did you check out the articulation on this piece
as well? Oh, yeah. And it's unbelievable. That's another note. And also something I've always loved about the Sideshow pieces and now the Hot Toys pieces is the level of articulation. You can pose these things epically any way you want to make these things look like it. And there are great photographers doing this presently, photographers that have these toys and put them into these various scenes that they either Photoshop them in or they have these built dioramas. Yeah. And they are posed amazingly. Like you feel the combat in a lot of these works. So it's incredible articulation.
I want to, on talking about articulation and going back to the hands real quick, the fingers on the hands are not articulated, but they're not stiff.
They're not
flexible.
Hard plastic.
They're flexible.
Yeah.
So you won't have that problem where you have to, anybody who has any toy, especially a Stormtrooper, where you have to try to figure out how to get the pistol in the pistol hand.
Angle it into the trigger hole.
No, what you have to do is you need a cup of boiling water.
Not with this piece.
No. Not with
generally,
this piece.
Generally.
You need a cup of boiling water and you hold the hand over the steam for a couple of seconds.
No, you dip it in.
No, see, I don't like to dip it in because sometimes you get a paint.
Oh, really?
You get a
paint issue? I never had that issue.
On the 6-inch figures from that other company?
Oh, yeah.
But if you hold it over the steam, you get just enough flex
to open the finger. Just enough, real quick.
Yeah, you have to.
So you can get it in there before it cools.
You have to bend open the finger, put the gun in, and then bend it back before it rehardens.
Well, again, this Hot Toys piece brought to us by Sideshow. That's not something you have to worry about.
No.
Because the fingers are soft. It's soft enough and pliable enough where you can kind of work it and pose it any way you like. We should talk about the coloring also. Not a clean white uniform.
No, he's...
But
he's,
an accurately represented sort
he's
of...
sand-blown.
Sandy.
He's sandy.
Sand-blown.
Sand-blown Jetta Stormtrooper.
Absolutely amazing piece.
Not pristine Jetta Stormtrooper.
Absolutely amazing piece. I just want to check. I'm going to SideshowToy.com where you can go as well to check out more on this great piece. Now, again, currently he's not available, but you're going to want to get over on that wait list to check him out. Give me one second. I want to get back to his price point page.
While you're looking that up, Kev, I feel we should probably drop this little bit of news that just hit.
Uh-oh.
An official statement from StarWars.com.
Who died?
No, nobody died. Technically, Lucasfilm has no plans to digitally recreate Carrie Fisher's performance as Princess or General Leia Organa.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Wait, no plans to digitally recreate her?
Yeah, that means
correct.
They're not going
to. So what they've filmed so gonna, far, we'll see, and yeah. they're not going to try to digitally.
Because right. I've already heard some swirling rumors about her being recast for the ninth movie.
No, ridiculous.
So yeah,
they're not going to Tarkin her. Is I think what that means.
Right.
No,
they're not going to harken back to Tarkin.
Recast? They wouldn't dare.
Unless her role to the story is so critical.
No, the fan backlash would be unreal if they did that.
I agree. Unless her role is so critical that maybe they're hoping that
no way
that the fans would embrace somebody.
There's no way.
Anyway, we're not talking about that now.
$234.99 is what this is going to run, which is about what the armored pieces run coming from. The great folks over at Hot Toys, brought to us by Sideshow. So you can check it out over at SideshowToy.com. Now, this piece is going to be featured on our return to live from Studio V as soon as we figure that out. OG. Right. I've already spoken to Production Tim.
Ooh.
So that may be. And I can't wait to start featuring some of these great Sideshow pieces. We haven't done some of those in a while. And what a great time with figures like the Jetta Patrol Stormtrooper. I mean, how can we not do some live video Studio V stuff?
Can I be off camera with like ping pong balls to throw at you all?
No, PK, I'm sorry. Only three people can do live from Studio V. Myself, OG, and Big Rat are the only.
You get to
I want to be off camera.
You get
so
to
I can throw ping pong balls at your ass.
Ooh. You get to do Foley sound effects.
I'll do that too while I'm throwing ping
while
pong
you're throwing
balls.
Ping pong. Absolutely. You are invited to do that.
It's geek pong.
No, we will all be involved in Studio V.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's truth and jest, and I'm deeply.
No, it's
I'm wounded.
No.
You wounded me.
Maybe what we need to do, OG,
he's a delicate wounded gazelle.
What maybe we need to do is just bring back the audition process where you can audition, and Big Rat can also audition, and we'll see who.
You want me in the Studio V thing? I mean, you know, I ask the important questions.
That's
You know, remember the Buffy statue?
That's right. That's how it all started.
That was another Sideshow piece, by
there
the way.
There I
yes,
was.
Yes, it was.
I still have that piece.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you.
No, she hasn't. She hasn't quite made it yet.
All new meticulously designed backpack in the list of items that comes with. I thought they would say more about what the backpack seems to represent. That I'm not exactly sure of.
It's a community. I remember
you think
that
it's communications?
Sequence. Why else would it have an antenna?
Got to be a WikiLeaks page that explains what the hell it is.
It looks like
Wikipedia
or Wikipedia.
Yeah. Wikipedia.
One.
Yeah.
Did I just say WikiLeaks?
You did. WikiLeaks.
Oh, shit. That's all the shady stuff.
That's all the stuff coming out about episode 8 and 9.
Well, really, the first page on that
what's
story.
What's in Mon Mothma's emails?
The first
hold
page on that
hold,
story
hold
is
on.
That it was a prop gun and Han didn't shoot first.
Hold on. First of all, wait a minute. You go look that up right now and see if that domain is owned. Because we're going to buy that domain if no one else owns it. If WikiLeaks is available,
there is no doubt
we
in my
have
mind
to buy. We'll just buy it and redirect it to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. I don't care.
I am certain WikiLeaks is owned by somebody. Gotta be.
Guys, you got to go over to SideshowToy.com. You got to check out the amazing products that Sideshow is doing. You're going to hear a lot more about them on Big Kev's Geek Stuff because, quite frankly, products of this level we can't ignore. We have to talk. Is it taken up? Is it? Why are you showing it to him first? It was my idea.
What am I? Looking? Wait.
Yeah. Exactly.
What?
No shit.
What? What?
I spelt it right. Right.
I mean.
Yeah.
Before you publish this shit, we might want to grab
that. No, seriously, grab it. No, seriously, I'll pay for it. How much is it? You have to do it before we publish the show.
Yeah. Okay. I'll try to do it tonight.
Just,
all right.
No, don't try.
I'll do
all
it.
Right.
Calm down.
Let's.
Why does no one own that? Why does no one own
that? I spelled that right. Right.
Let me look again. Hold on.
Yeah.
WOOKIELEAKS.
That's it.
No.
Yeah, that's it. That's how you spell Wookiee.
Something doesn't look right with that.
WOOKIE is how you spell Wookiee. Leaks is LEAKS.
It's
not LEEKS because we're not cooking shit.
We're not making soup.
I know! Please, for the love of God, buy.
I will give you
the money.
I'll buy it. It's like $5.
Wookiee might be with two E's.
It's not.
Oh, is it with two?
Wookiees or twoies?
All right, put it in with,
but
put
try
in
it. Try it.
I will.
I'm. Oh,
if
wow.
If that's not, I would be, I'm floored.
All right, let's come on. We got okay.
SideshowToy.com. Definitely check them out for other great stuff. They have a million licenses, by the way. You should definitely check them out. They're doing fabulous stuff with all their licenses. And again, can't wait to have the opportunity to talk about more like next week. And look soon, very soon, for the return of Live from Studio V, so you can see some great unboxing and OG and I and PK and perhaps Big Rat having fun with some unboxing and opening of these fantastic pieces. SideshowToy.com.
I'm not doing it now.
No. You're not doing what?
No, I'm not doing Studio V.
Oh, now we're going to have to beg you?
No. Yeah. Okay. I'm...
All right.
You're going to have to lure
me back. I believe in your contract, the last point in your contract under duty says additional duties as assigned.
Oh, that's right. I got additional duty.
You anyway. Sure do.
We're done with DC, guys. Come on.
Anyway.
No, Warner. See?
Sorry.
We didn't even talk. Did we talk DC?
That's really weird.
What?
If you go to WookieLeaks.com, it points to the WookieLeaks Twitter page. So someone must own the domain and have it pointing to the
Damn it. Yeah, I would have been blown away.
Wait, so it just points to a Twitter page?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's the WookieLeaks Twitter page. Yeah.
Damn it.
There's no way that wasn't grabbed up. Oh, well.
Anyway.
That would have been awesome.
Don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BKGeekStuff.com.
I got to tell you, I'm disappointed now.
Yeah, I know.
Thought we had something.
I thought we had something. You can find us on the social media. I am GeekStuffOG on Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, etc. PK.
You and your PlayStation Network. I am K. Robert Marlowe on Instagram and the Twitter. Hey, oh, and I just broke a grand.
Nice.
I've been on Twitter since pretty close to inception. Yeah. What's like 10 years now at this point? A little over 10 years.
Inception wasn't 10 years
and
ago.
And I just broke.
That is a sound effect for good chunk.
I just broke 1,000 followers.
Congratulations.
So that's thank you. Even though most of them are probably bots. But thank you in this circle for following, at least.
Big Kev.
I am BK Geek Stuff on everything except the Xbox Nation, where I am Big Kev GS.
Nice.
I think.
There you go.
Wait a minute. So I don't think... Maybe somebody could call in. Give out the GVM line real quick.
Yeah, that's going to be 201-730-BKGS.
I don't think you can... You can't cross-platform...
No, you cannot.
Place. Oh, that means we got to get you an Xbox.
Unless you're buying it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we have to figure it out. How are you going to play Red Dead with us?
Well, you might need to find your ass a PlayStation, sir, because if Red Dead calls me to join the PlayStation 4 crew, which it's looking like it might, that's two of us to your one.
Oh, no, sir. There are others. Well, it's not fair because I think Uncle E-Rock...
He has both, right?
Yes.
He has both, but Cousin Dave, a few other people that we played with before, they're on Xbox One.
Well, they're going to have to
figure that out.
It's time to convert.
We'll figure it out. Anyway.
I don't know how we're going to do that.
Anyway, Big Kev.
Yes.
With that.
Did you do the whole thing already?
I did.
I'm sorry. I was,
we did everything?
I was caught up in the Jetta Patrol Stormtrooper from Sideshow. I was just... I'm flabbergasted still.
It's a great piece.
With what's that?
I said it's a great piece.
It is. And with that, OG, we will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close the way we end some episodes by saying, troll the respawn, Jeremy.
And on that note, we cue the music.
My friends, farewell, goodbye. I'd love to stay and play and sing for a while, but it's time to hit the road. Say goodbye, so long, farewell, bye bye.
Goodbye to my friends. I'm glad you were here. It's time for us to go and get another beer. I'd like to see your smiling face.